الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: خالف المشركين وفر اللحى واحف الشوارب. وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنه إذا حج أو ائتمر قبض على لحيته، فما فضل أخذه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. رواه البخاري. As far as our daily معمولات وظائف are concerned, one very important aspect also is to read the third kalima. That is very, very important. Our three zikrs, that is third kalima, durood sharif, and istighfar. Each one of them have got very, very, very great merits. And to read it 100 times, we should try and read. In order to make it easy, for those who can manage it easily 100 times, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, read 33 times istighfar first, 33 times durood sharif, and 33 times third kalima. And you start again 33 times, so you break it up, so on your body you don't feel it so heavy. And in case you didn't complete all, and you did just one tasbih 33 times, so you did your istighfar, your durood sharif, and your third kalima. If you just read one time all three, then if you didn't finish it, then you only read one, not all three. But this you read part of all three. So, and if you use different sighas, different words for all the different times, then it will also change every time, will make it very light and easy to do it. Like for example, the first 33 times, istighfar, you read astaghfirullah al-azim al-ladhi la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayh. Durood sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third kalima, subhanallah walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. So one tasbih is finished 33 times each. The next tasbih, rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin, which are also very, very, very valuable words. Then the next 33, for example, sallallahu ala nabiyy al ummi. And the next 33 times, then complete the kalima, the third, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The third time, Allahumma ighfir li wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. And the third time, durood sharif, jazallahu anna muhammadan bima huwa ahlu. For which Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, man qala, a person who says, jazallahu anni muhammadan bima huwa ahlu, then at'aba, he makes tired, sab'ina malakan, sab'ina katiban, 70 farishtas who record the amal, the rewards of deeds. Alfa sabahan, for the 1,000 days, for 3 years, he makes them tired by reading it one time. And then the third kalima, subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatih, which Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught one of his wives radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, that you are reading, you are making a dhikr from ishraq time till chash time. I read this 3 times and my sawab is more. So this is also a way that we should think. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, by this saying, opened a way that we should maximize our rewards. Wherever we see that how we can maximize our rewards. So just by reading it 3 times, so much sawab. And what is that? Subhanallah bihamdihi. That is the zikr, the same. But now the quality of it has changed. Adada khalqihi. So how much subhanallah bihamdihi? To the number of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Adada khalqihi. Wa rida nafsihi. And according to the pleasure, how much Allah is happy with so much. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ, and the words of Allah Ta'ala. What else? So, زِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ, and the weight of the throne of Allah Ta'ala. So just imagine, just by saying the same zikr, Subhanallah, if we just read it, Subhanallah, bihamdi, adada khalq, just read it. And this is just that now. How much of that? Adada khalqi, wa rida nafsi, wa zinat arshi, wa mirada kalimati. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. As far as the third kalima is concerned, there are so many virtues, so great, great virtues. A person, when he reads, he feels, I must only read the third kalima. Like it's common, we must be experiencing it when we sit to eat, and usually the first dish that comes, many times it's so delicious, the soup or something, and you just feel, I must only eat this. But when you just lift your eyes a little bit, you see what roast there is there, what chicken there is, the fish that has been prepared, what and what things have been prepared. Like that, really, if Allah brings it, that our ruhani jazba, that when we see what meals we're going to get. Like, for example, Friday your mouth starts watering, that after Asr we're going to read 80 duruds. That enjoyment comes into a person. My zikr when I have to make, that it's like now I'm having this snack, now I'm having that snack, this meal. Now, what are these dunya things? What's the new marriage that you have? This year is when a person, when he's young and he gets married, then he's got all Josh, his wife is young also, and she's got a figure like a trigger also, like a Coca-Cola bottle, her figure, and you're having all your enjoyment. But as your marriage grows and you mature, and then the love is still there, but now it's no more like that when you were so young and healthy and you had all your stamina and all your vitality, and she also young, and she came with all her trousseau and her perfume. Every morning she got a different perfume, afternoon different, night different, and perfume is really to entice a man. And therefore, the correct perfume for a Muslim woman is there must be no smell in it, fragrance when she goes out. At home she can use for her husband. But when she goes out, she mustn't put on sun, because it entices a man, it arouses attention. And such a woman who goes out with that, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, she fahiya kada wa kada, that she's such an evil woman. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam did not even take the name. How bad to take the name of those evil women. He didn't even take it. And as you become older, thou, you don't have that stamina and that strength anymore. And neither, now she also, she had a figure like a Coca-Cola bottle. But after she bore you 3-4 children, now her figure is like a 200 liter oil drum. Now all that curves and bends and all the contours and all those things, you forget all that. Now it's just one big straight line. That is what she is. But you don't look for other Coca-Cola bottles now. She bore your children, and she is your wife, and she's with you. You keep your eyes only on her. And if you don't look at other women, Allah will make her so beautiful in your eyes that you won't want to look at other women. Start with not looking, and Allah will make it your nature. You won't want to look at other women. You just make the little effort at the start. So anyway, so as you grow older, then you become now weaker physically. But really, if we are on the right route and we are following the right road, inside our ruh will becoming younger and younger all the time. And how when a young man gets married, how much Josh he's got. Like that, you'll be racing towards, and as you're coming to the end of your life, you are becoming younger, your ruh. Outside, your body will be weak, frail, fragile, all. But inside, your ruh will be young. And imagine how you'll be enjoying. And at that time, your outside body will be so weak. Sometimes, the husband has got Parkinson. And he's really just shaking all the time. No, 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 no. And the wife got Parkinson. And her head is shaking. Yes, 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 yes. And they want to kiss one another. They're crying, but both got Parkinson. They're missing one another all the time. Whole night they're trying, but they can't even just let the lips meet. And they're just missing one another. But with your inside, your ruh growing stronger, your love for Allah Ta'ala, and love for zikr, love for tilawat, it will just be increasing. horse, when it's reaching its home, it races faster. So then you'll be racing more. More you will want to do. So that should be our attitude. Not as we grow older, now I won't keep rosas this year. My rosa, I got sugar, I can't manage. I got ulcers, I can't manage. My tarawih, too long now. I made enough years tarawih. No, you'll race more faster. So Allah Ta'ala make it that we work on our zikr, our ibadat. And zikr is such, when we will do our zikr properly, that enjoyment will come. We will look forward to it. And the third time we can read our tasbihat, read La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ahadan samadan lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And in all, think of the meaning of it and the enjoyment you will get. 2 million sawab for reading it one time. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. أَحَدًا سَمَدًا لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And with an urge from within yourself, you read, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I've been just a big sinner. I didn't appreciate the ni'mats of Allah. I'm just involved in guna all the time. And the third kalima, and if we read the third kalima in this way, Alhamdulillahi wa Subhanallah. وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ. A person who reads it in that way, as soon as he said it, the farishtas are waiting for it. And they fight with one another to grab it and take the sawabs. As they go up, whichever farishtas they meet, and they are meeting all the time, just as we see ants when they are moving around. They are moving and they are meeting and they just stop and just sort of greet one another. And they carry on. And they greet and they carry on. Greet and at a fast pace, their pace they are moving on. The malaika also like this. And those as they are all giving du'as for the reciter who read it in this way. Alhamdulillah. Wa subhanallah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wa allahu akbar. Wa tabarakallah. They are giving du'as for them. And then this, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that in one Hadith it comes, that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, that a person who reads the third kalima, that one time Nabi alayhi salatu was salam told the Sahaba, khudu junnatakum, take your armor, take your weapons, get ready for war. They say, amin aduwin kad hadar. Has some, is there enemy ready? Yeah, it says. The way Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said it, that the enemy is here already. Don't waste time. Get your armor. Get your weapons quickly. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La minan nar. Get your weapons and get armed and get ready to save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that these words are muqaddimat. Then muqaddamatul jaysh, the whenever there is an army, then usually they have a group that goes in front and checks out everything. What's the enemy like? What, how much are they? Whatever, all. So these words go in front of us, getting prepared things for us for akhirat. And they are muaqibat, like in the Quran Sharif, lahu muaqibat min bayni yadayh. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They surround you from all sides, protect you. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. They go in front to clear your way, to make your reception, to receive you in a very, what a 24-watt gun salute. What like that, to receive you. And they surround you to protect you. And they are munjiyat, and they are also mujannibat. They save you from all harm. But if you didn't read them and you fell into harm, they are still there as munjiyat to take you out of the harm also. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam further said that these words, they yata'atafna hawla al-arsh, they make tawaf around the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And yudhakkirna bisahibihinna. And they are praising you all the time by Allah Ta'ala. All the time they are praising. That is their tasbih, praising you. The person who ever read this. And now your words are being read by by the arsh of Allah, and those malaika are speaking, praising you by Allah Ta'ala. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam further elucidated it and said that, Ala tuhibbun, don't you love that you must be spoken about, be praised by Allah Ta'ala. Naturally, everyone loves that. Then for that, read this tasbihat. And even when we enter Jannat, and inshallah we all enter, Allah give us Jannat, and we get the namas of Jannat, but this word that we read while we were in dunya, they will be still making tawaf of the earth. And that reward will still be coming to us in Jannat. So what investments we can make? Otherwise, normally only till maut we can make. And even if you make investments of dunya, returns you only get till maut. After maut, nobody come deposit in your qabr. That is, but what we make, it will stay forever and ever. Even when you go to Jannah, still you can go. And this is for the rich and the poor. Otherwise, only the rich usually make investment. But yeah, any and everyone, the woman can make investment. Girls, boys, old people, what great investments we can make. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala give us tawfiq. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Mi'raj, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed salams and said, give your ummah my salams. Ulama say when we hear this hadith, we should also say, alaykum wa alayhim as-salam. That salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also, and to Ibrahim alayhi salam also. And we should think what an honor Allah has given that Ibrahim alayhi salatu khalilullah, father of the Anbiya, he sent salams for you and for me, for Yusuf and Ahmad, for Aisha and Khadija. And who brought the salams? Allah's Nabi brought the salams. And all the great muhaddithin who have narrated this hadith, they have brought the salams to us. And who am I, really? And we should then think to become right. That's how evil I am, but who has sent salams for me? And what is salam? Peace. Just like Laylatul Qadr, salamun. Qawlum min Rabbir Rahim. Peace, peace. Islam is peace, complete peace. Peace, salam is peace. Really. And further it is the ma'iyat of Allah. When you make salam, that may Allah be with you. And further, it is barakat, barakat from Allah Ta'ala. And salam is salam. And then it was rahmatullah, rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And also it teaches us discipline. Salam teaches us great, great discipline also. So all these benefits we get. So we should think, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us this to make the third kalima, read it. And nobody is has a higher position by Allah Ta'ala besides that person who read more the third kalima. But for us, we enter into the court of Allah. And with all this, we come closer and closer. And those who read this, a person who reads 100 times, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. If we read what? Subhanallah al-Azim, also alright, but in the hadith only comes, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. 100 times, by the barakat of that, Allah feeds the entire creation. The human beings, jinn, Muslims, non-Muslims, plants, animals, birds, fish, all the creation by the barakat of Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. If your gunas are equal to the form of the oceans of the world, Allah forgives them by this barakat. Nobody is more closer to Allah than the person who read this. But the person will read it more. So we should take our time for this. Allah give us tawfiq daily to make our tasbihat also. Our zikr also, which we discussed yesterday. And our tasbihat also. And this is the way that you become close to Allah. You become the mahbub, the beloved of Allah. And who is the beloved of Allah? Is the beloved of his Rasul. And Allahu Akbar, where can we become the beloved of Allah's Rasul? But we have been given such formulas that just by applying them, we can also become the beloved of Rasul. The beloved of the Malaika. The beloved of the righteous and the pious people. An easy way to become the beloved. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One very important aspect as far as our appearance is concerned is for man the beard. The beard, Islami, is a shi'ar of Islam, is a great sign of Islam. At one time, the king of Persia had sent two people, na'uzubillah, what they were thinking, which world they were, to come and arrest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he has started a big fitna here, and is calling the people, because they should say to the Arabs, antum abidu abidina, you are the slaves of our slaves. You are not even fit that we can rule over you. We have our other slaves and they rule over you. You must pay taxes to us. We are not even fit that we take taxes directly from you. You are not even worth that. Na'uzubillah, how the Palestinians are being treated now. Like they're not even human beings, that they're not even animals. And in spite of that, we all are just quiet. No du'as for them. And they are a close family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Palestine, Baytul Muqaddas, has got a great, honorable, lofty position. The history of it is so enriching, so rich, so wonderful. But like we got no feeling. Not a dua comes out for them also. So anyway, so then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam noticed that they haven't got beards. And he didn't look a second time at their face in their whole state. He couldn't tolerate. Like if somebody, you see somebody and his backside is open, you don't want to look back again ever at that person there. That how he looks, how terrible it looks. Like that without a beard, the face. That the whole state they stayed. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told them, well, you have come to arrest me. Will speak to you. Next day he told him, Allah has killed your king. And he was killed by his own son. He was sending somebody to arrest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own son killed him. And he informed them, go home. What you people, your king is killed there. Who you have come to arrest here? But show that what disgust Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for a person without a beard. One great buzurg was genuinely a buzurg. And there are many, Allah save us all, that they are sincere, they make the ibadah, they do everything. But some little jahalat, ignorance they still. So one such buzurg came to India, and he was a great buzurg, and in that he was doing his majalis, etc. And they saw he's a genuine person, but no beard. So they asked him about it, Hazrat, beard. He says, my buzurgi, and everyone, all buzurgs, they have one main focus because of which they have become close to Allah. They have got some other weaknesses, but they have become close to Allah on a specific point, that I don't hurt the feelings of anyone. That is my, like, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi, for example, that hukukul ibad, fulfill the rights of people. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, looking after the eyes, for example. So Hazrat taught everything else also. But there is a certain focus. Some people on ibadat, somebody on sunnah, somebody on Quran Sharif, a certain focus. So he said, I don't hurt the feelings of any person. So they told him in a respectful way that whenever you take the blade and you put it on your cheeks to shave it, you are putting your blade on the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are hurting the feelings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a genuine person. He said, Jazakumullah, Jazakumullah. You opened my blind eyes. I never looked at it at this aspect. I never thought of it like that. Then he kept his beard. So anyway, the beard is a great, great sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith that I read, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu, son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khaliful mushrikeen, go against the ways of the mushriks, and waffirul liha, let your beards flow, let them grow full, and that in the hadith it comes. How long? One first length. And your mustache, trim your mustache. You should trim your mustache. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, as I said, that we all understand Hazrat's main focus was looking after the eyes, not looking after a woman. But in every aspect of deen, like many of Hazrat's murids used to say there in Karachi, that Hazrat has got a PhD in this subject, PhD in this subject. And what is it to write one thesis? nothing, no big deal to become a PhD. Well, so Hazrat, with regard to the aspect of the beard, Hazrat's bayan and discussion is so wonderful and encompasses everything. And Hazrat in his bayan of the beard makes a person laugh. But laughingly, he takes you to Jannat. There are also those buzurg who take you to Jannat, they make you cry over your gunas, over what I am, and then they take you to Jannat. And there are those buzurg also who make you laugh, and laughing they take you to Jannat. The bayans, etc., they will make you laugh. On one occasion, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was giving a bayan in Bombay. And in the bayan, he told that with regard to the mustache, the best is to remove it completely. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, today there are so many machines, shavers, that it's so easy to remove. You don't have to use your scissor anymore and clip your mustache fine. And you won't be able to clip it so fine with a scissor. But with all the shavers, it is so, and it takes you a minute or two to clean your mustache. So the best is to remove it, that is first class. And to keep your mustache is permissible, but to this extent that it must not cover the whiteness of the upper lip. On top of your lip there is this little white mark, the mustache must not cover that. That must be remain uncovered. So one youngster who was sitting in the majlis, he said, I'm quite happy with a second class pass. That even if I keep my mustache, I like to keep my mustache, and it doesn't cover my lips, so that is also possible. That is also all right. So his father was sitting, he said, no, you are lying. When you got married, you were not happy with a second class girl. You wanted a first class girl. You wanted a virgin. You wanted a young girl. And when we furnished your home, you were not happy with second-hand furniture. You wanted brand-new furniture. Everything you want the best. Then Hazrat said, for dunya, we want the best, first class, and the best of everything. When it comes to deen, no, it's permissible, so it's all right. It's not haram. It's a small guna. It's not a big thing. Then we settle for all the second hand, the third hand. But for dunya, we want the first hand all the time. So Hazrat in his wonderful way explained that the beard, which is in Arabic, lihya, and in Urdu and Gujarati, dari. Both these words, lihya, dari, it is the lower jaw. And Hazrat should explain, open your mouth and feed your lower jaw. You can feed where your lower jaw. So the beard, that is the place where it must be kept, on the lower jaw. All that part is part of the beard. So what happens here, a person when trimming his beard, he goes down sometimes over the limit, over the line, and he goes on to the lower jaw. And Hazrat used to say, teen batachar, farighul baal, three over four, three quarter. You now cut out three quarter of your beard. Farighul baal, no hair on the part of the beard. And this subject, I became more conscious of it, and Allah gave tawfiq. Many of our close friends on a one-on-one business, I tell them, because that concern that has come from this one malfooz of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that a person whose beard is less than one hair's breadth from the required amount, the guna is the same like keeping no beard. So if a person's beard is one hair, the width, and I'm what the width of one hair. If it's less than the required amount, the guna is the same like you kept no beard. So many, many of even Ahle Ilm, ulama, pious people who are, they are pious, but they are not aware of this, unmindful, and the beard is gone below the line a little bit, to the extent of one hair's length below what the jaw, and easy to understand the jaw, if to open your mouth every time and then trim is hard, but where your lips meet and the front of your sideburn, the sideburn here, the front of it And when your lips meet, just a little line that way, that is the sign of the limit of the beard. To go below that, and many of us, we don't realize, we do go a little bit below that. So then the guna will be like, you kept no beard whatsoever. So how serious a matter it is not. Some people, they keep a French beard, just a little line. Some people, like the Arabs, they keep a goatee, that is just a beard on the chin. And the rest, they don't keep the beard. So, and all of them, they want to be, our Shaykh says, they want to be up to date. That is, when they were pious people, they fit in that company, they up to date, they got a beard also. And they were to other people, modern people, they fit in that company because it's a fashion beard. It's not like a beard to show that you're a religious person. It's a fashion beard. So Hazrat says that more than you worry of being up to date, worry of your expiry date. When we will expire, what will be my condition in the qabr? If I have to go in the qabr without a beard, what will happen? So one person, when he passed, was passing away, he had a beard, but he told his children that when I pass away, take white flour and cover my beard. So in the qabr, Allah Ta'ala asked my banda, why did you do this? He said that I read that you have mercy on a person with a white beard. So in that hope of yours, I treat you like a person with a white beard and I forgive you. So if we keep, to have a beard and go in the qabr, what a great thing. And to go in the qabr without a beard, what will be the condition? One time, some of us might remember Colonel Amiruddin, who was from Canada, originally from Hyderabad in India, and he served in the army there, and he was a colonel in the army there. And he was a very hard and strict person. Once we were doing gusht in Lodium, and it was some this Milad days or something, and they had this Muslim brigade, and the girls also. So he became so angry. He said, you people tolerate all this. We back in Canada, we get off and give them a good beating. When he came to South Africa the first time, that was when Tabligh Jamaat wasn't still introduced properly in South Africa. He came by ship to Durban. And those days, you had to fill in your arrival form and purpose of visit. Why have you come? So he wrote there to conquer your country. They put him back on the ship and they sent him away again. But afterwards, mashallah, he became, and he converted so many people to Islam. So he was very particular. He says once he went to Egypt, and the namaz he made, and he was very, all Egyptians by nature, Allah has given them a voice to read Quran, Sheikh Abdul Basit and many other Egyptians. It is famous that the best Quran reading are the Egyptians. So this Egyptian was different from the others. He had a full beard. So he was very impressed with him. And there usually the imams have got a room with the masjid for them, for their own, like an office. And before namaz, they sit in their office. After namaz, they sit in their office. And they are like a full-time imam. Not only imam for the farz namaz, from Allahu Akbar till Assalamu Alaikum. And after that, you don't know who's your imam. They are full 24-hour imam. They see to the matters of the community. Anyone is born, making tahneek, giving a name, a proposal, then they will look into the proposal, whether this is suitable or not. Anything, everything, janaza, mayat, nikah, they fully in the matters of the community. So he was sitting in his room, Colonel Saab went to him, and he told him, I've come to meet the imam. He said, I'm the imam. He said, the imam who made the namaz now. He said, I made the namaz now. He said, no, the imam with the beard. And it's not something to laugh about, but then he showed the beard hanging on the wall. A wig. So Imam Sahib, Colonel Amiruddin got so angry, he gave him a hard slap, making a mockery of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was Qadi Abdul Wahab. One is Bhai Abdul Wahab of the Raiwin. One was Qadi Abdul Wahab, also a very old worker and the Amir of Ahmedabad in India. And he also, great sacrifices and great work of tabligh he had done. when he, on his travels, he went, he was in Baghdad as well. And the Imam got up for Jummah khutbah with no beard. He couldn't tolerate it. He went up and he threw him down from the minbar. And those minbars are high. He threw him down from there. Minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you coming without a beard here. Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hasan had to ban him from foreign travel because he just could not tolerate anything wrong. He couldn't see anything wrong. He would take immediate reaction on that. So this is, so the beard is so important. So one is the length of the beard is one thing, and the area of covering. So yeah, in front the covering is up to where our lips meet to the front of our sideburn. Don't go lower than that. Be very careful. Check in the mirror. And I usually say, we offer one free service. And mashallah, many friends come and they say, check my beard whether it's right, confirming to Shariat or not. And it's a free service we will give you, check you, and according to what we know, and Allah guide us, will tell you whether some adjustment is necessary. As far as the bottom of the beard is concerned, yeah. The beard grows on the throat also sometimes. So with regard to that, our Shaykh said, the hair of the beard that grows with the beard, that must be left. That's not allowed to cut. The hair of the beard that grows below on the throat, that you are allowed to cut. And a beautiful example Hazrat gives of that, the soldiers of an army that are with the army and fighting with the army, they must be protected. They are giving protection, and all everything what is for the army is for them also. But those soldiers who renegade and they go away from the army, they are shot in the back. They are traitors. And so the hair that grows down, not with the beard, away from the beard, that you are allowed to cut. So that is as far as the area is concerned. As far as the length of the beard is concerned, it should be one fist length. And our Shaykh beautifully used to say that when you want to trim your beard, then don't call your two-year-old son and tell him, Beta, come here, I have to trim my beard, I have to see whether it's one fist length. Now your two-year-old son, his little beard is, he got no beard. And his fist is so small and you want to measure it with his fist. No, your own fist. And don't pull your beard when you want to, just leave it normal. And catch it, and don't measure it here from the bottom of the lip, from the bottom of the chin. From there, measure it one first length. And then cut it from there. And then take it this way, and also measure one first length. This way also. Then here on top also. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that Allah shukr, that our beard doesn't grow like this. If it was like that and we got married and we went to our wife, she'll wonder which monster is this now. And Hazrat Jamalana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, beard is a sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And every sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is beautiful. So keep your beard also in a beautiful way. Three rites of the beard, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that one is taghseel, to wash the beard. One is the tadheen, to put oil in the beard. And the third, tashmeet, comb the beard also. So we should be regular to wash the beard, wuzu time we wash. And it is sunnah that when we make wuzu, then we said, haqadha amarani rabbi. Pass your fingers through, haqadha amarani rabbi, haqadha amarani rabbi. This is my Allah commanded me, I should make khilal of the beard in this way. So then we wash, put oil also, and comb the beard also. So in that way we should keep the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep it in a sunnah way that is a beautiful way. Don't keep it in such a way that people, like they get wahshat from you. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that one of Hazrat's Khadims, he had a big beard. And when they went somewhere, the child started crying. So then the father of the child said, you see, that is why we don't keep beard. See, even little children are frightened of the beard. And they just see somebody with a beard and he got frightened. So Hazrat was very, very sharp. Hazrat said, he's not crying because he's frightened of the beard. He's frightened because first time according to him, he's seeing his father. Because he knows also a father keeps a beard. A man keeps a beard. And a mother is without. So when he's sleeping at night, his mother on this side, Farihul Baal, no beard. Woman got no beard. And his father also, so he's saying, I got two mothers. So I haven't got a father. Today, first time, like he's seeing his father. And every child, with the mother, they make lar, they make muhabbat, they fight with the mother, they shout the mother. But with the father, they have respect. They are frightened for the father. So first time in his life, now he's seeing that I got, that my father has come. That he's seeing he's got a father. So this is a sign of authority also. A beard is a sign of great authority. Many of us who have got petticoat government in the house, the wife is ruling. Because we threw in the tools, we haven't got a, we're not like a husband. We're not like the man in the house. We like another woman. Then who was she saying? You're the maid in the house. And she treats you like that also. And how mothers treat their children like they are small children. How they shout small children, they shout the husband like that. And you didn't do this. You don't doing that right. They treat you like a small child because we act like that. If we keep our authority, and as my mother-in-law, rahmatullah alayha, she used to say, Wiqar apne haath se khote hai. Your respect and your honor, with your own doings, you lose it. And if you live how you're supposed to, and your position, you will be respected according to that. So the beard, the length of it, one first length. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khaliful mushrikeen, go against the ways of the mushrik. And waffirul liha, your beard, let it flow, let it grow. And at the end, the explanation comes, how long must it grow? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, don't keep your beard. In that Bombay Bayan, he told that one Haji Sahib had a beard till his navel, long beard till the navel. And when he had to go make his tinja, he had to take his beard and put it under his armpit. Otherwise, the beard will become napak when you're making his tinja. So don't keep such a long beard. We are not here to keep beards like the Jews. And that is their way, long, long beard. Our beards according to Sunnah. And your mustache, trim your mustache. Then Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself says that whenever you should go for Hajj, Umrah, any other occasion during the year, when you're trimming your beard, then trim it and catch your beard under the chin, and whatever is over one, he says, Wama fadala, what was more than that, then he should cut that. So the beard should be kept in that way, that should be the length of the beard. And another very important, Hazrat should explain about the beard, the mustache, and the baby beard. That is also one thing which many of us make mistakes in there. The baby beard, Hazrat says, is khasiyat, is its special quality that the whole life it remains a baby. It doesn't grow up, doesn't become baligh. The baby beard remains a baby whole life. So a baby. Don't cut the baby beard. Like Hazrat gave, should give a beautiful example. Your two-year-old child, when you are eating and your food is in your mouth, your sweet, your chocolate, many times that little child will put its fingers in the mouth with whom it makes lar and has muhabbat, the mother, the father, and take it out again. So then you don't cut his hand off that he took out the sweet. But with muhabbat, you take out his hand. So this baby beard, we have a complaint when we eat, it comes in the mouth. And it causes disturbance, you can't eat properly. What is extra and what disturbs and comes in the mouth, to that extent you can trim it. But not more than that. So your baby, when he puts his hands in your mouth to take out the sweet or anything, you don't bite off his finger. In a nice way, you take it off. So the same way the baby beard, when it comes into your mouth, don't cut it off. And it's very, very humble, this baby beard. Just put some water or some oil, and you see it stays down. But if it comes up, so don't cut it off. Don't put it under the gallows. Don't cut it off. Just put some oil, water, and then just put it down. It stays down then. So the baby beard, it stays the whole life. But it must be kept. It must not be cut. So we must check that our beard mustn't be less one hair's breadth if it's less than the required amount. And where many of us falter is here on the cheeks. We go a bit too down. And good people, and they're not aware of it. Just now, before Ramadan, we had some in the Jalsa. We had visitors from overseas, alim, great khidmat of deen. We were sitting and talking, and as now I can't help it, I told him that, see, this part of your beard, you are gone little down. And only by the barakat of our Shaykh and his wonderful bayanat, that we can also, and I explained, and he was very, very appreciative. He said that I'm living in a house of ulama, in a Darul Uloom. But nobody brought it to my notice. It never came to my mind. And what you're explaining to me, I can see 100% it's correct what you are saying. And here I'm sitting without a beard, according to Sharia, that one hair, and this is not one hair, much more, less, a whole centimeter down here. It easily, many of us, it goes a whole centimeter down. So check that. And also, at the bottom here, and the length of it. Also, don't make it less than a fist length. And also, Hazrat used to explain, don't put mehndi, khizab, black on the beard. If your beard you want to, you can put red mehndi, but don't put black mehndi. And beard is a sign of being a Muslim, a follower of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah give us tawfiq to keep our beards properly. And then the eyebrows, the hair that grows big and it causes now covering your eyes. You are allowed to cut that amount. But don't cut your eyebrows, don't cut your eyelashes. They must be left on each place. Anything else? Yeah. On the cheek, you can cut off that hair. That is all permissible. What grows? Ji, acha, jazakumullah. Ji, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that the hair on the cheek, preferable to remove it. Leave your wife at least some place when she wants to kiss you. She got a landing strip. She can land a kiss on your cheek. Sometimes she wants to kiss you on your cheek, sometimes on your forehead, sometimes on your nose also, sometimes on your lips also she wants to kiss you. So if you cover it, you got all grass growing here on your cheek also. Now how can she land a kiss there? So give her a chance that she can land a kiss on your cheek also when she wants to, and the cheeks when they are nice and rosy and little pinky, then she also enjoys to kiss that little cheek there. Gee. Anything else? The beard starts here from the sideburns. Some people, when we go for a haircut, and try and avoid going to barbers. You can do all your hair dressing at home. And give the wife the opportunity. Let her cut your hair, cut the children's hair. So much money, how expensive to go. And remember also that the barbers, the things that they use, all of them don't, sterilize properly. And somebody else might be having some disease in their hair, and the same machine they use on your hair. And we have cases where now this person is suffering the consequences. So going, spending so much money to go and get some disease, to import a disease, you're going to spend. Just do it at home. What is that? And respect and so well. So what were you saying? Gee, so yeah, many times the barbers, the side burn, they shave off a little bit there. Now they left a little space between your beard and your side burn. The side burn goes down. That is what grows. And also, we should be careful. There are many people, their nationality, their nation, the beards don't grow. Many black people, other it grows also. Many Arabs also, beards don't grow. So don't look down upon anyone. One muhaddith, great muhaddith, had only one hair. And he should address that one hair. I got nothing else but for the honor of the beard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this one hair strand, and I respect and honor you, and you stay safe for me, that I can show I kept the beard, just one hair. So Allah gave us full beards, make shukr. And this was the way of the Sahaba. And in fact, in those days, even the non-believers also kept beards. That is why when these Persians came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was surprised that all men keep beards. How come these people here without beard? It's like a, and a beard is the garden of the of a husband's face, the beauty. And without a garden, like a barren, like a person who's got a no garden, just like a dry land, it's like a desert. You are like a desert without a beard. And with the beard, you're like you have got a beauty. And which garden? The garden of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which greater garden can we have? And this will be the garden of Jannat, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi.